What a blessing morning worship was to our hearts this morning. And we're looking forward tonight to hearing more about the work in Spain and also hearing from God's Word. So Dr. Pinyol, would you come and share what the Lord's laid on your heart?
What a joy, what a privilege to be here in the house of the Lord. I remember the words of David. He said it's better to be one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 out. We're here worshiping our Lord. The mission field has come to us. And those people, they don't know the Lord. We need to go and preach to them. And for that, the Lord has to be our vision. Anna and I would like to sing a duo. The music is not my talent, but I love it. And there is a song that you know, and it's called Be Thou My Vision. I think you know that song. But we are going to sing it in Spanish. Okay? So you it's the same words, nothing changed, yes? While we sing alone, you can follow it in English. And we hope and pray it would be a blessing for you. Years ago, the Lord sent me to this place, Barcelona, Catalonia, Spain. There was a fire in our heart because we saw the need. We saw the thousands were dying without Christ, without hope. We studied in North Carolina, and I love North Carolina. I mean, I love okra, so we could stay there. But the Lord moved me when I saw and I realized that that city, Barcelona, was lost. Was lost. And we went back. I worked as a teacher for 8 years. And we established the church. My heart is that I want to serve the Lord with my life. And my prayer is that each of you would do the same. You were created for the glory of God. Would you please pray? Asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want for me to do? He has a plan for you. A wonderful plan. Many more things that I would like to tell you and say to you. You know, I am a man with eternal life, but 30 minutes for the message. So I will not use much of my time. I just want to share my heart with you, and especially the most precious thing that we have, the Word of God. I invite you to open the Bible in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation, chapter 3. We're going to talk about the remnant and missions. And what two interesting words, remnant and missions. And I'm not going to read that word here in my text in Revelation chapter 3. I will read another word. It's brotherly love. Interesting word. But let's read it. Let's read chapter 3 of Revelation and then verse 7. Unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, this thing saith he that is holy, he that is true, he hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take that crown. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we stand before thee with the security and the assurance that we are your children, and that everything that we have has been given us by grace and grace alone. We are so unworthy, Father, of this great salvation. But tonight, as we approach your throne, we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, encourage our souls to walk in a deeper life with you and to follow you wherever you may call us. Father, help me to talk, help my language, and help me to be a blessing for my brethren. We pray these things, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Church of Philadelphia is one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. We know that there were original churches in the area of Asia. And we know also that those churches have a lot of things to teach us in the time that we are living. When I read this Church of Philadelphia, it's precious to me because I realize that many of those Christians that lived at that time, they were persecuted, they suffered, they were really in trouble because their faith and what they believe. I was telling you about this morning about the Cathars and how they were persecuted. And I know that we didn't agree with everything that the Cathars believed, the Albigensians. There were a few things that we will not agree. And later on, in the same region of France and Spain, they came the Huguenots. And again, the Huguenots were persecuted and killed. We visited a place where they put the woman. It was a prison for women. And they put the woman there. And they died there. It was like a tower. We entered that tower. It was a huge place, maybe smaller, but something like this. And in the middle, it was a well. Yes, a well. We approached that well, and in the side of the well, there was a word. In French, résistance. That would be resist. Hold up. Be strong. The lady that wrote that was the leader of those women, Christian women that were in prison. And she was trying to encourage the sisters to say, hey, don't give up. Continue even in suffering. What a brave heart she had. She wanted to resist, to keep on, even in the middle of the fight and the difficulty. And I think I know why. Because she was not looking around to the walls that were surrounding her. She was not looking up to the ceiling or to the well. She could not escape that prison. But her eyes were even far beyond those walls. Her eyes were put in the high up where the Lord Jesus Christ was. And I do believe that the Church of Philadelphia, or the churches in Revelation, or those that were persecuted, the Huguenots or the Catholics, or those that were killed by the Inquisition in Spain, they saw the glory of the Lord in the midst of persecution and in the midst of trouble. They knew in whom they had believed, and they knew they could trust Him. The heartbeat of that people was Christ. And as we serve the Lord today, in Spain or here, let me say this clearly. Our heartbeat must be the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reason we are here. He is the reason we are overcomers. He is the reason we have been redeemed, Christ and only Christ. And as we establish a ministry there in Spain, I try to do all I can to be Christ, the center of what we do in the ministry. As we have read here, when we see the letter to Philadelphia, the first thing that we see is Christ. He presents Himself as the Holy One. Christ is holy. We sing that old hymn, holy, holy, holy. Oh, what a hymn. How precious. But remember, He is holy. Our Lord is holy. In the midst of this scene, of this world, of this society, we are walking with a holy God. And He is walking with us. Even more, He has made me the temple of His Holy Spirit, of His Holy Ghost. And that's wonderful because I know this me. I know myself and I also. And I tell you, I am a mess. Really, I'm not kidding. I'm a sinner, saved by grace, but a sinner. And yet God has chosen me to be His holy temple. The Holy One of Israel, He is with us. He's here with us tonight, and we can trust in Him. He is holy. He is true. John 3:16 said so. I am the truth. There is no other truth. There is no other God. Some people in Spain, they're saying, oh, well, we all worship the same God. How do you say that in North Carolina? I think the word was baloney. Yes. Okay. Allah, the God of Islam, is not my God. Come on now. My God is holy, is pure. His moral character is higher above any other thing. He is love. Allah is hatred. He is holy. God is almighty, is the only one. He does not share with anybody His glory because He is true. And that's our God. That's our God. We can be happy that that's the God we are serving. He is holy. And He is the King. Is how it's, we have read. He is the King. He is reigning. He is on high. And that is wonderful. The King of Israel is our King. I love Jewish missions. We try to read Jewish, and sometimes difficult to find them. They hide themselves. But I tell you, the Lord, the King of Israel, is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is your Lord. He's my Lord. There's a verse in the Bible that I love. I mark it in my Bible. When Peter had that vision, he was on the roof of the house, and the Lord said, you know, kill and eat. Remember the occasion? And Peter, I love Peter. He was funny. He said, no, Lord. Remember the verse? Have you noticed that there is a comma? No, comma, Lord. Because if He is Lord, you don't say no. Right? You say, yes, sir. So I am glad they put a comma there. Yes, Lord. What do you want for me to do? You know, He purchased with His blood. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is our true and the only one of Israel. But He knows all. We have read here, verse 7, this thing saith that He is holy, that He is true, He that hath the key of David, He that opened and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man opened. You know, that's telling me He's powerful. I will use a theological term. He is omniscient, omnipresent. He is all power. I'm glad I'm serving that God. He can do whatever He pleases to do. He does not need me. He does not need us. He does what He wants to do. And He is omniscient. He knows it all. The Bible says here, I know that works. We have to have a refreshed vision of the God that we are serving. Because sometimes we are afraid. We look around and we are afraid because the enemy is powerful. We look around and we are discouraged because we are just a few, very little. We don't have a strength. So we are afraid. We forget who is with us. Forget that. I remember the prophets of old telling to each other, more are the ones that are with us than the ones with them. I could imagine that Elijah or Elias at the front of the enemy and the enemy running away, and they would say, hey, look, I'm strong. No, he looked back and would see the mighty God of Israel with them. The Lord is with us like a powerful giant. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid at school if you go into school or in your jobs when they mock you, they laugh at you because your faith. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know whom we have believed and He is powerful. But we need to see Him again. We need to understand how our Lord is, His attributes and His power. Not only what He did, but who He is. Let me give you this example. My wife and I, we got married 29 years ago. I better don't forget that one. 29. Let's imagine that I am so happy because she keeps me straight and, you know, I'm good look tonight because my wife has kept me straight, you know, hopefully. And she cooks for me. That's great. She's a good cook. She does perfect. And she does so many things. We forget about that sometimes. But our wives are there to help us. So we say, oh, darling, I love you so much for what you do for me. Yeah, fine, okay. But are we forgetting what she is? Not what she does, but what she is? This is what happened in our relationship with the Lord. We are thankful for everything that He does for us, and He does a lot of things. He answers prayers. He encourages us when we are discouraged. But are we forgetting what He is? He's mighty. He's mighty. When we pray to Him, we are praying to the God of the universe. We are praying to Him who created everything that exists. And that's our God. Isn't it wonderful? Wonderful. Now, let's look to us, what we are. Here it says, behold, in verse 9, it begins to talk a little bit about us. And the first thing that says is that we have an open door. I've seen some churches in the Church of the Open Door. Fine, good name. But what is it? We believe that was the open door of opportunity to preach the gospel. At that time, we put it in time, was the Roman Empire was governing there, and they were. They say that every way or every road take you to Rome. I don't know if you have that in English. So, yeah, I mean, it was great. It was an open door. It was an opportunity. And they were using it. Are you using the opportunities that the Lord gives you to preach the gospel? An open door. Also, and I like it, it says, you have a little strength. A little strength. We are, and I'm going to be serious now, we are nothing. We don't have strength. And I want to be clear in that. That if we do something, or if we preach and, you know, somebody is saved, or if we serve and there is results, it's because God did it. God did it. I am sorry, and I am preaching now, Pastor, but I am tired of people that think that we are, you know, something special. To whom we're trying to impress. We're not impressive. God is impressive. God is impressive. And it looks like we have to have some big man or some big name to follow. The only name worthy of praise and worship is Christ. To him we have to follow. We have just but a little strength. We are but little fellows. But God is the one that is mighty in us. He is helping us to accomplish his desire, his will in our life. Now there is a condition, and we see it also here. You have kept my word. I call it obedience. The Lord does not ask many things from us. Just one. Your life. One thing. Your heart. Obedience. Obedience. And why we fight with the Lord? We are afraid. This is funny. We trust in him for everlasting life. Amen? Yeah. Lord, I trust you. I know I will go to heaven. But wait a second. I control my life here on earth because maybe you don't know how. This is the kind of attitude that we have. Instead of just surrendering to the Lord and knowing that we can trust him, that his plan for us is the best, that he knows, yes, even though we may sometimes suffer and sometimes have difficulties, but the Lord is with us. And when we have no strength, he gives us the power. Just obey. Obey him. When I was in the army, you know, in the army they put you names. I don't know if they do the same in the States, right? I had two names. One of them was Reverend. Everybody called me Reverend. I don't know why. But they called me Reverend, Reverendo. I said, yes, sir. I was ready. Another was Big Smile. I don't know why, you know, smiling around. But I remember my officer, my captain, coming to me and, you know, give me a direct order. And I was not like, hey, I am Reverend, you better talk to me. I was not like that, okay? Or I was not, no, I was not like that neither. When he say, soldier, yes, sir, ready to obey. What do you want for me, to jump the trench? I jump the trench. You want for me to fight the enemy? I fight the enemy. Follow orders, because he has full control of our lives. And yes, we are in a battle. We read in this verse that Satan was trying to discourage them. And I know Satan is going to try to discourage us. I know that. Don't be discouraged. The fight is not over yet. The Lord is coming. We read in these verses, he will deliver us from the hour of temptation. As we interpret the Bible as the tribulation, we understand that the Lord will deliver us from that time. We have the victory. Is that nice? I like to compete. I never play with my wife because always she wins, so I don't play with her. But I like to compete. I want to be a winner. You know, we are already winners. We won the victory. Now, this does not happen to Barca team. He has to go to the field and fight with the play and, you know, Barca, the Barcelona team, and they win or they lose. And hey, we're winners. We have the victory. Even in the hardest fight, there is a crown of glory that Christ won for us. We have the victory. And we are overcomers. That has to encourage us. In the worst fight, just a smile, saying, hey, I know I'm going to win because we have all the promises of the Bible. Today I gave you this morning three powers that the Christian have: the power of prayer, the power of the word, and the power of his Holy Spirit. But are we using those powers? Prayer meetings in all churches are the less attended. People don't go to prayer meeting. Pastor called to pray, and sometimes it's difficult to pray. We want to pray, and somebody ring the phone, right? Happens. A church that pray is a powerful church. And when Satan knows that they're praying, he begins to tremble. Don't get discouraged in prayer. Look to the Lord. Great things happen when you pray. God is faithful. The power of prayer, the power of the Word. I tell you, this book, this precious book, still here. Satan had tried to destroy it. And the unbelievers attacking the Bible continually. But this book is here, has power. And I've seen the words of sinners being transformed into a child of God. The drunkard that was first there, I'm sorry to express like this, but maybe a drunkard was vomiting, you know, and blah, in the mess. And suddenly now he's clean up with a nice tie, a nice shirt, singing songs to the Lord. Who changed his life? The grace of God, the blood of the Lamb, and the power of the God, of the Word of God. And then the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sorry to say that the charismatics have taken away from us that precious doctrine. We have to live a life in the power of the Holy Ghost. And this does not mean that we're going to be jumping up and down pews. That's craziness. That's not power. That's loco, as we say in Spanish. That's loco, loco. Right? But when we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, oh, I tell you, oh, what a joy, what a joy, what a peace. And the people will not see you. We'll see Him. We'll see Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We have that power, and we have a promise. And a promise is, in verse 12, we talk about the open door, and that's a promise, right? In an open door, there is a verse that says that the doors of hell will not prevail against the church. Let me say this. This is not a verse that is defensive. It's offensive. If you have seen in the military, when we go to a door, we just put dynamite, explosive, and boom! Or we have a thing that beat the door and open. That's offensive. This is what that verse means. An open door, we can open it. But then also in verse 12, it talks about the pillar of truth, and there will be no more out, and then upon him there will be a name of my God, and upon him my new name. And we sing, there is a name written down in glory. Not all him, right? But the precious name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a precious name. And I pray that I will really, wow, I use a word, I hope it's okay, I will feel in love with Him. Meaning that my heart will be full in love with Him. That nothing else will take the place that He has to take in my heart. A full heart for God. Jonathan Edwards, he had 17 resolutions. 70 resolutions. And one of them was this. I resolve to have a life with all might as long as I live. I want to live a life with all might for His glory. The Church of Philadelphia, brotherly love, knew that. They live for the glory of God. Maybe the Lord will come tonight, I don't know. Maybe tomorrow. But very soon He will come. Our time here will be gone. We may be the last generation of Christians before His coming. And we're going to give a strong testimony. Are you ready? If He comes tonight, how He is going to find you? Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Have you surrendered your heart to Christ? Come fight with Him. He is the best thing of this life. Give your life to the Master. When we contemplate missions, we cannot forget that missions is Christ. We are there to talk about Him. We are there to glorify Him. We are there knowing that He is with us. And once again, as I finish this message, I want to express my gratitude to you all for your prayers, your love, your care toward us, the Pinot family, but toward missions as well, toward the work of the Lord, toward this church. The Lord is with you, my little flock. Don't get discouraged. We are overcomers, and He's coming soon for each of us. Let's pray. Take my words, Lord, and bless the hearts and the lives of these dear people. Father, we are here because of you. What you did, saving us, what you did, making us your children. And Father, tonight we just want to say thank you for that precious salvation, for that precious Savior, our Lord and Master. We pray, Father, in the beloved name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's turn together to number 531. 531, we'll stand together as we sing on the last stanza of 531. Give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. The Church of Philadelphia was a church that communicated the truth. They communicated the truth of God's Word. They were instruments of the Holy Spirit to carry forth His work. And that's what we want to be. That's what we want our children to be. That's what we want our grandchildren to be. We want them to be saved, and we want them to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together as we conclude our service tonight. Let's sing together stanza 4. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for what we've learned today about the work in Spain, but also having our souls instructed by the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of Dr. Pinol and for his wife Rosa and for Anna. We ask your Father that you might strengthen and encourage these servants as they continue on for thee. Lord, we pray that you would provide the needed support for their ministry. We also ask your Father that you would touch our hearts to do our part to help and encourage them in their work. We thank you, Father, for the good word that we've heard tonight. We ask, dear Father, that Grace Bible Church would be as the Church of Philadelphia. Help us, dear Lord, to be used of thy Holy Spirit to carry forth your word, and that we might be true examples of those who follow after thee, who name thy name and have your name imprinted upon us. And I pray, Father, that we might honor and glorify Thee until the trump sounds and we're caught up together to be with Thee. Lord, may we be faithful, for we know that You're always faithful. Now, Father, dismiss us with Thy blessing as we go our ways tonight. We ask, dear Father, that You'd bring us together again on Wednesday night, and we pray that You'd help us to be faithful witnesses for Thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.